Food City makes it easy to shop your way. Just pick up your groceries curbside or have them delivered directly to your home. So whether you need weekly groceries or just a quick meal, Food City's got you covered. From their doors to yours.
It's Wednesday. Happy hump day, everybody. You're listening to the Eric Haines Show on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Logan Ward, double duty in this morning. That's an early morning, is it not, Logan?
Yeah, that 4 a.m. alarm clock's not fun.
It's not ideal. I don't care how old you are. That sucks.
When we were broadcasting from home, doing a 6 a.m. show was not great, but it was way better because you wake up at like 5:15,
do your work the night
shower,
before, wake up,
go downstairs, and do the show. Because I always showered before the show because it was like the reset of my day. But coming in here to do it, getting up at 4, getting ready, driving in, taking a deep breath, and then going on, the difference between 4 and 5 is immense.
Oh, yeah. That's, no thanks. There's a lot of people listening right now that are pulling night duty still.
Yes, that are saying,
that are
I
way tougher
know.
Than I am.
Yes.
Way tougher than I am.
I wasn't a coffee drinker before I started working here. Now I'm going to go have 3 cups of coffee after I had energy drink this morning during the
welcome
starting
radio,
lineup.
Son. Welcome.
I just drink Diet Coke. It's not as powerful as
this
coffee,
body
but
is
it tastes
a temple.
A lot better.
I do not put caffeine or anything that's not supposed to be in here in this temple. You can move on from that.
Wow. All right. We will indeed move on as we take a look at the game plan. All right. Tennessee defeats Vanderbilt last night. First half was not fun. First part of the second half wasn't particularly fun. Tennessee kind of got a fire lit. And by the way, you, Eric Haines, you, Logan Ward, you guys were just whistled for a technical foul.
That's ridiculous. But we like flirted with letting them come, like get really, really into the game for a long time. And then we let them go back and forth, trade buckets. And then at the end of the game, we played good and we made all our free throws. Dude, we were, I think, 25 for 29. So when we did the over-under yesterday, three-pointers, we were right. Field goals, we were right. It's atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Did I take the under on free throws?
Yeah.
I feel like I did,
well,
right? But I set it at 75, yeah. And they were over. If they would have been under on that, they're losing the game.
Free throws being made was
the bright spot.
The key. Yeah. Like, just do that. Here's the thing. Tennessee basketball. If the only thing they could change from how they've played the last few games is to hit free throws, guess what? They still win most of the games they play. And I don't win Kentucky.
No, but...
but you win the other games comfortably. Going to have to hit free throws on Saturday LSU. It is going to be a nuts atmosphere on LSU. Even as people are, I won't say out on this basketball team because I don't think they are, but people are not as all in as they were when we started this thing.
It's still the best thing to do on Saturday in
this
town.
There are a lot of people that are all in on that LSU game on Saturday. You mentioned it yesterday. We were at Beard and Beer Market yesterday, and we're talking to Kent Wilkins, and he said, everybody's asking me for tickets to LSU. I mean, it's going to be a good one on Saturday Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Bailey is going to UNLV.
Man, it sure was important to leave the team in the middle of the year. Man, you end up at UNLV. I'm not hating on the kid. I just the people in college football, that's another good example because quarterbacks are usually the ones that can find like comparable spots. That's just not the case. I mean, you're a 4-star and then you put it on film. All people care about now is what they see while you're at Tennessee, and he was a true freshman, for crying out loud. He wasn't ready. The team sucked. He actually didn't do that bad with all those circumstances, and he still ends up at UNLV. It's not a bad spot for him, but...
Tyler and I talked about this on Friday, and I have two thoughts on Harrison Bailey and quarterbacks as a whole transferring that we'll get to a little later on. But Tyler and I talked about this on Friday. I think as much as what he put on film in his starts at the end of the 2020 season... the fact that people in coaching know, and I didn't learn this until around the start of the regular season. The coaching staff at UT stacked the deck for Harrison Bailey to win the starting job in spring practice last year. They did. And not only did he not win it, he was fairly significantly behind Hendon Hooker at the end of spring practice. And Joe Milton was still coming in. Everybody felt like they could go win with Hendon Hooker. He was consistent. You know, the thing people kept saying about Hendon Hooker was consistent.
That he was consistently super average.
Sure, absolutely. But what I didn't know until really around the start of the regular season was the extent to which this staff wanted Harrison Bailey to be the guy last spring, and he just couldn't take it.
And I don't think he possesses that.
I think that hurt his landing spot as much as anything, because coaches talk. Not that they're running a kid down or anything, but I think last offseason, when he's still at Tennessee, they're going, we got this kid. We tried. He's great, and we tried.
He doesn't have Harrison Bailey, and I know we'll talk about it later, but Harrison Bailey, one of the things you hear about quarterbacks all the time, people call it the it factor. Do they have it? All they really mean is confidence and a relentless attitude, maybe even cocky, arrogant, whatever you want to call it. They're the best. They know they're the best. No one can tell them anything otherwise. And they go out there and they steal jobs and they take them and they never give them back. I mean, Joe, when's the last time people talked about Joe Burrow's arm strength? They never do anymore. They don't talk about anything. They talk about his demeanor and his confidence and his swag. And he is the quote unquote, he's the quarterback. Harrison Bailey's just not like that. He probably wasn't like that in youth football. Probably wasn't like that in high school. He wasn't like that here. He's smart and he's capable, but he's not the refuse to be denied, take the job at all costs guy. It's just hard to win jobs and keep jobs in college if you aren't like that. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think Hendon Hooker is a benefactor of Joe Milton playing bad. I don't think Hendon Hooker's like that at all. He got playing, and then he was out there and had confidence, and then boom, it clicked. You could watch it click for him. But he didn't have that. Now he worked for that. He earned that. That's just something different. I don't think Joe Milton has that. Most quarterbacks that are average don't. The really good ones do. It's like the one, they can look different, throw different, run different, all those different things. But if you don't have that attitude, then you're probably not going to be the quarterback.
We'll talk about that in more general terms as well. Big topic Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour is going to be on Vol Hoops. Where's your heat check on Vol Hoops? Where are you on it? Where do you feel like they are? Does last night change things for you? Does last night solidify things for you? We'll talk a lot of Vol Hoops in the 10 o'clock hour. I will have our VFL and the NFL update. Also, VFL and the NBA update. We'll check in on what a couple of guys have been doing, including Grant Williams kind of pulling the Celtics out of the hole the other day. We'll play over-under coming up at 11 o'clock. And Derrick Henry back at practice for the Titans.
Uh-oh.
Does that change your outlook on the Titans, actually out there? All right. All that and more coming up over the next 3 hours on the Eric Haines Show, and that's the game plan. It's laid out for you every day by 42nd Street.
42ST.com. They want to help you make money. Your business. You're a business owner, and you're like, okay, that's cool. Everybody does that. Well, I mean, you have all your expenses. You got payroll, building, taxes, equipment or material or whatever it is, food, or whatever your business is. You have all your hard costs, and one of those hard costs, and marketing's not in that. And you got to be doing pretty well to do that. And that's what a lot of small businesses struggle with. And, they're struggling, so you can't spend all this money in marketing, but that's the thing that gets you to the next spot. Well, before you do all that, go see Mike at 42nd Street and see what he can do for you before you feel like you just have to flip this crazy ad budget that you don't have. There's still things you can do to help you, and then maybe you can get to that point where you can buy whatever you want to buy. Again, 42ST.com.
The Eric Haines Show rolls on next. We're on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back to the Eric Haines Show. You can't put in the Ritz peanut butter cracker.
I can do whatever I want. So I come in today and I'm complaining. I'm like, man, I didn't have time. And Bob was like, he was about to be a smart butt.
Yeah.
Yarbrough was.
Yeah.
Like, we all talked to each other like that. And I was like, listen, should I have woken up earlier? Yes. Should I have had a plan for food? Yes. I'm 35 years old. I'm not going to do it, clearly. We need a vending machine downstairs that works.
We had one, and nobody ever bought the snacks out of it. They all expired.
I would, yeah. Well, no, Landon Doan threw some peanut butter crackers at me. So now I'm good to go.
You know, I can call you and wake you up at 4 a.m. in the morning if you want me to. So you
No one's waking me up. I already have three humans that have to be woke up for.
I can tell you, Logan, that if Eric is asleep and has slept through the alarm, phone call is not going to wake him up.
No.
What would you say to me if I called you and I actually woke you up at 4 a.m.?
If it actually woke me up?
Yeah. It would have been nice.
You'll know someday if you have children, but you get woke up all the time. The ability to go back to bed is something. It's a learned behavior. So if you called me, I'd be like, sucks to be awake doing TSL. Click. So that situation would never exist. But I would probably give you a flat tire or a dead arm or something.
Yeah, it's...
Nothing crazy.
But you have to remember, Eric Ainge was a professional athlete, and there are some things that reside inside of him.
If you trip the fight or flight in me,
He's still got enough God-given ability to go back.
Really hard to do that.
Yeah.
Really hard to do that.
Hey, there's Tyler Ivins. I heard he hates Dolly Parton.
Oh, see, that wasn't going to do that to him. That was dirty. Turn it on. He has to defend himself because that's not fair.
So let's bring this out, particularly for people that are listening on the podcast later. This morning on your show, Start Bench Cut, it was most likely to win governor in Tennessee.
If there was a political race between
Dolly Parton,
Justin Timberlake, and Peyton Manning.
And you didn't start Dolly.
I said Peyton. But that I said Peyton would win. How's that me ripping Dolly?
Well, I think I just heard.
I'd start Peyton. I'd bench Dolly. I'd cut Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake doesn't have a chance in a race.
Not against those two.
I don't have
an issue with any of this other than the fact that I remember this being told to me. John Ward, Ryan Carl from Nashville. Yep. You guys remember he's already
played with him,
Tennessee boy.
Yeah.
John Ward, Peyton Manning, Dolly Parton.
What order did you put those in?
Jesus. And
that's a problem.
It's a tier, not even a list.
It was here's the five people, one hand, five people on one hand, that you can never say anything you actually think about any of them unless it is gushing with amazingness. I learned it a long time ago. So a bench is not a problem, but it's not a start. Doesn't take a lot. There's some red boy running around here going, Tyler. You don't love the Tide. Bama fans fighting each other.
Yeah.
You don't love the Dolly.
We said, hey, well, it's been a good run. Hope you enjoy Iowa.
Yeah, well, you can have my spot.
You can have my spot. I mean, people are coming after me on social because I said I think Peyton would win a political race head-to-head with Dolly.
Let's all team up with it. He would.
Kelly wants to know if you're going to run down Pat Summitt next.
Peyton would be...
Oh, my God. I can't do this with you guys.
That's not fair. That's a low blow.
I can't do this.
But I'll get on board with you. I'm bored. Send it to me, too.
I'm literally going to take 10 more seconds of your programming.
You can have as much as you want.
You're telling me a Peyton Manning and Dolly Parton went toe-to-toe in a political race?
Peyton would win.
No, Dolly would win.
It's not that easy.
Dolly has mass appeal. Peyton
would not only win that, he would win that because he's younger and more involved, and Dolly would not care to be that. She is Dolly to everyone.
Yeah.
She would never want to be something to some people and something to others. There would be Democrats in Tennessee that decided that they were no longer Dolly people, and I'd be out on them. For that, I'd be totally out. Peyton... Everybody loves Peyton. It's easy.
I literally have a piece of imaging that runs during our show between 6 and 9 a.m. that says he considers Dolly Parton the one that got away. Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup. 99.1.
All right. Hey, I'm on your team, dude. I told you.
I got people that are pouring kerosene around the building right now trying to smoke me out.
Don't blow up my truck. I like that. But... I would say
Tyler's car. Never mind.
It's a black Jeep in the back of 4711 Old Kingston Pike.
Yeah,
I know. Everybody too. I have people who tweet me all the time. I think I just saw Ivan's in his black Jeep Cherokee tweeting while driving.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. So yeah, you probably.
I think everybody knows what kind of car
he's probably
I have.
Tweeting rational things about a political race.
Yeah. Tweeting while driving kills. Tweeting at red lights has stopped me from being killed at least twice. Oh, the lights turned green. I should have gone already. Oh, that
car doesn't have it. You know how many fender benders I would have been in my life if my truck didn't automatically slow down when it got towards people? The whole thing flashes red and it slows me in. I'm like, oh, okay.
Pat that
on the bad ones. Not bad ones.
I apologize for eating up 2.5 minutes of your game clock. And,
you go, hey, listen.
We'll make sure that people know you don't actually hate Dolly.
If they're hating, let them hate. They're hating, let them hate.
Hey, boys. If only there was an instrument that you could access online called a podcast that heard word for word.
Where is the fun in pursuing facts, Tyler? It's 2022.
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners of WNML.
I'm on Team Ivins.
This is a good example of listening to the radio and hearing the radio.
I'm on your team, Tyler.
All we go.
Boys, have at it. We'll go on to hut, hut.
Hut, hut.
I like hard two better.
Hut, hut.
All right, but we actually seriously break down Tennessee and Vanderbilt when we return next.
Are we done with a segment already?
On the Eric Gates Show.
Jesus.
All right, well, last night, number 24, Tennessee got a win over Vanderbilt 68-60. Santiago Vescovi led the Vols with 14 points. Juros Plasvich and Kennedy Chandler each chipped in with 13. The Vols improved to 3-3 in SEC play. In college basketball elsewhere last night, starting in the SEC, Arkansas beat up on South Carolina 75-59. Missouri hammered Ole Miss 78-53. Number 5 Baylor outlasted West Virginia 77-68. Number 6 Duke was upset in overtime by Florida State 79-78. Number 7 Kansas survived a scare against Oklahoma 67-64. In college football, former Tennessee quarterback Harrison Bailey has committed to transferring to UNLV. And in the NBA, the Timberwolves took down the Knicks 112-110, and the Warriors handled the Pistons 102-86. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
865-656-9900 if you want to join us.
Like in coaching, you would almost certainly be better at it than Tommy Tuberville. Hey, what? Out of
the Riverboat Gambler, man. Love that guy.
Great conversation out of context. Tennessee last night at Vanderbilt.
You got stats pulled up?
I can
Pull them bad boys up. We said yesterday, sitting at Beard and Beer Market,
yes,
I gave you guys some over-unders, and we said...
we played over-under a day early.
We did, but it was topical. It was good. So, 3-point, what did I say, 35 or 32? It was no higher than 35.
I think it was 32%.
I thought it was 32, and we all took the under.
Tennessee shot from 3-point range, 21.7%.
Okay, so I thought that was an obvious one.
Hard under.
Wacky Jim.
Okay. The good news is, it was a hard under. The good news was Vescovi was 3 of 5. Justin Powell was 2 of 5. Olivier Kelmois doesn't need to shoot threes.
Ever.
He
doesn't need to shoot the ball, period.
He was 0 for 3. Brandon Huntley-Hatfield was 0-1 from the 3-point range. Zakai Ziegler, I'll take him being 0-3, whatever. He's a guard.
He's a good shooter,
though.
He was
0-8 from the field. But you know
what?
He's
like 6 inches tall.
He had 11 points because he got to the free throw line,
and he had the steal.
He made them.
He made the steal down the stretch that basically won us the game. Anyway, we went field goal percentage. What did I say? 35? It wasn't 40. I think I did 35% from the floor. And I don't know what we were overall on, like, field goal percentage straight up. Do you have that pulled up, Brian? Straight up field goals?
Field goal percentage for the game, Tennessee was 33.9%.
So they're under on that. Mm-hmm. This is terrible. Then you get to free throws, and I said 75, and you guys were like, what? And I was like, yeah, if it's not, then, like, these first two can't be under.
Free
and
throw
then that
percentage,
be under.
86.2%.
25 for 29, and they won the basketball game.
Zakai Ziegler, 11 of 12. Santiago Vescovi, 5 of 6. Olivier Kumbois, 3 of 4.
That's
Juros, 1 of 1.
Hey, Juros showed up, you guys.
He did.
Juros showed up. I still think that he's a walking technical foul. He does not seem like he has like any composure at all.
And he's like the nicest. Okay, so off the court, nicest guy you'll meet.
He's the guy at a pickup game
that
gets in a fight
some stuff.
Every single time. He's also
and
the guy
great.
That doesn't win.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it because he's...
I don't hate that he's like trying to be that. I watch when he makes his choices to like elbow guys and shove guys. Like, if you're going to be the guy that's throwing bows and causing problems, you need to be physically intimidating. If you do that to the other team, all you do is wait. Like, let's say you got a big man, okay, on another team coming in here, and Juros has the sharp point of his Juros elbow in the back of his ribs, and the guy's getting mad about it. you better be good enough once you wake the guy up to shut him down. Because guys sleep through college basketball games all the time on every team. I worry about that a little bit, that it's not calculated enough. Like, if you're going to be the troll guy, it needs to be a little more calculated. But it's been better than it was before. He'd play 5 minutes and come off and shove two people and provide nothing for the game.
But last night he plays 20 minutes, 6 of 7 from the field, 1 of 1 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 13 total points.
Was awesome.
Yeah, he did a great job.
He was awesome. Dude, if that dude starts playing like that, and Huntley Hatfield, you keep working him in, and you let Hatfield and Fulke kind of go back and forth there, get him on the, you got Kumwa. I mean, like, if Euros can play good, my outlook for the season actually changes a little bit. We do not have any down low presence that can go 6 for 7 from the field, mostly on offensive rebounds or little one-on-ones down on the block, getting good position, shooting a little jump, little baby hook, cleaning up the boards. We have to have that.
But guard play was what you wanted it to be, and you had to get some extra help because Josiah Jordan James went out with an injury. He only played 4 minutes.
Did he have a concussion?
I missed the play where he got hurt, so I don't know.
That's what I just thought. Know he wasn't. That's what I thought he had.
And Victor Bailey Jr. only played 2.5 minutes, but Zakai Ziegler in 26 minutes mentioned he didn't have a good shooting night. Was 0-for-8 from the field, but made 11 free throws. Drew 5 fouls, had 2 assists, no turnovers, and 4 steals, including the one that sealed the game.
His values and like his intangibles through there. If he makes some shots, that's almost a bonus.
Yeah.
If he can do all that other stuff, that is huge.
Makes his free throws, steals the basketball, plays good defense. Kenny Chandler in 31 minutes was just 6 of 13 from the field, made his only free throw, 4 assists, did have 5 turnovers, but also had 5 steals.
Yeah, when Ziegler and Chandler are on the floor at the same time, we are tough. We present a matchup problem for a lot of teams. And, you know, again, you found a way to win a game with teams playing a lot of zone against you. We're starting to learn how to get more attempts. You shoot 22% from the three-point line. How many did we take?
From 23 shots.
Under 25. If you can take under 25 threes and shoot for over 40% from the field, this team will win most of their games. Now, they did not do that from the field. They shot under 25 threes, though, and if they can shoot 40% or higher from the floor, they'll beat a lot of teams. They shot 33% from the floor, and that's not good enough, but they shot 25 for 29 from the free throw line to make up for it. It's like still, that little cat and mouse game.
Still 41% of the shots they attempted last night were from three. That's still too high.
That's the 40 right there. It's got to be 40% of the 3-point shots.
It's got to be under.
What was it? 41?
41% of the shots that they attempted were from three. That's got to be under 40.
It's got to be under 40, and you got to take under 25 threes. We're going to track it. We did. But again, a little bit too many shots taken from outside. You're not making enough of them. If you go 25 for 29. Now, here's the other thing. That's not going to happen. Last night was the anomaly. Going 86% from the free throw line. We have been half that at times. So that's not going to continue. So that you need to keep tracking that. You know, don't shoot a bunch of threes unless you're making them. Attack them. Get down low. Get to the foul line. If you start making your free throws, it's a lot more enticing when you're a Tennessee Vol to want to take it in and draw contact because you're making your free throws. When you get fouled and you're going, all right, that's 2 points. Like that's what you want. And Euros is going to have to play big on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because LSU has a lot of length and a lot of strength. And we don't really have either. So that's not a good thing for us down low. It allows them to be way more aggressive outside. That's why they're one of the top 3-point defensive teams in the country. They make it hard for you to shoot threes. They beat you up down low. It's a B-plus version of what Kentucky did to us. And that... the game plan is going to have to be tight. You know, we could look at turnovers, definitely too many turnovers. But they found a way to win. We said it yesterday. What has to happen? They just need to win because LSU is going to be really hard. If they win that, holy smoke, great. Great. They don't have to, but they have to win all the games they're supposed to. And when you're a 7-point, 6-point favorite on the road in this conference, those are usually hard games to win. And they found a way to do it. Good for them.
Vanderbilt also, by the way, not great.
No, they're not good at all. Their end of the game was bizarre to me.
Yes, it was.
So, like, you're going, you got some good three-point shooters. They had two guys. This Pippen Jr. hits a fall-away three, and it was nasty. I mean, it was dirty. It looked like an NBA guy shooting a fade-away three-pointer, is what it looked like. But then they start fouling us. They're only down four. There's almost, like, less than a minute, but it was like 40 or 50 seconds left. And they start ticky-tack fouling us, putting us on the line. All we've done all game is make our free throws. You go to try to steal the ball. If you steal the ball and you foul them trying to, that's okay. But they weren't even trying to get the possession. They were just hacking us. They were going to play the trade 2-for-3 game to only make up 4 points. I've never seen anybody do that ever, especially like in college. And then they come down. It's not like they're like swinging it around or trying to get good looks. They're jacking up more fall-away threes. Pippen Jr. hit the side of the backboard. Mm-hmm. And he's not a side of the backboard guy. He's a great shooter. It was such a bad shot. He didn't get close to drawing iron. I mean, it's like that. If Stackhouse did that on purpose, if that's what his like angle was going to be, that just further proves my point that guys that were Hall of Fame caliber baller players are just not usually good coaches. Penny, Stackhouse. I mean, you can go right around the room. I mean, there's some guy. If you're a really, really good player.
Juwan Howard's the exception right now. I mean,
he's the exception, but he's a big man, and he played smart for 17 years. He didn't ever just go out there and go, I'm Juwan Howard, I'm a ball out today, and one mixtape people and then dunk on him. Like, Juwan Howard was always the rebounder. He was the step-back 15-foot jump shot guy. His demeanor's awesome. Juwan Howard's really good.
All right, we return next. We'll take your phone calls at 865-656-9900 or 866-656-9900. The Eric Ains Show continues next on the Sports Animal.
Pink is my favorite color. Welcome into the Eric Ains Show, 865-656-9900.
Let's go to the phones. Jimmy is up first. Jimmy, what's on your mind? Welcome to the Eric Ains Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. I lost my eyesight several years ago, so I listened to the radio, and Bob Kissling is always, when he's describing, talking about how Chandler or Ziegler or Santiago is driving, and when they penetrate, they go straight to the baseline, and a lot of times they get stuck down there. I know they're down there trying to pass it out, but there's so many times they go down to the baseline and get stuck. Why is it they don't just, once they penetrate, pull up on and shoot the little 10-footer or the 12-footer? And the other thing is I don't understand why we miss so many layups. I just am amazed. I know they're getting contact, but they just miss so many layups. I don't understand it.
I'll tell you, Jimmy, I really think that's cool that you're listening to it and all that. You can call us anytime and ask us whatever you want to, like you just did. We miss a lot of layups because we're small. Everything we shoot is contested. And the tall guys we have aren't very strong. So they get moved out of the block pretty easily. We don't have those enforcer-type big guys. Uros is tall, but he's skinny. He's kind of light. Huntley Hatfield is a guy that in 2 years will look and play like that. He's naturally very big and strong. And Folke's too short, not long enough, and too light. And we just miss a lot of shit. Kumwad does probably the best job, but even he's too small. They just get everything is contested. There's rarely any just point blank layups where you're not shooting it over a hand or getting fouled or something. And they struggle with that. And then a lot of teams, the reason our guys take it to the baseline too far is because most defensive teams push guys to the baseline. So they're taking away the penetrate to the middle of the paint. You know, if you're a righty on the left wing and you want to penetrate your right hand, you're going to your right to the middle of the key, shooting that little 10-12 footer like you're saying, dishing to somebody mm-hmm. down low, kicking it out for a three. And most of our guys, other than Vescovy and James, do we have any more? Oh, Bailey, but he doesn't play. Most of our guys right now that are playing at a high level are right-handed. And so that's a little better. But, you know, if you're going to your left hand to the baseline, it's your offhand and you're getting shoved there with their hips. They want you to go there because then they'll pin you and trap you on the baseline. And without that length, it gets hard to see over guys to make those throws. So it's kind of the cat and mouse game.
When we played Kentucky, they had Wheeler and Washington. I think it was just penetrating, pulling up at about 10 feet and just popping it. And I just wondered why in the world we can't do that. I guess Wheeler and Washington are bigger, stronger players.
No, they're perimeter players, and they are strong. But I just think we played really bad that day, honestly. We didn't play good defense. Like, the one thing that we've done good all year, Jimmy, is play good on-ball defense. We play man-to-man almost exclusively. We suffocate people. We're stealing the ball. I mean, just Ziegler and Chandler last night combined had 9 steals between the two of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and that, we count on that. I know it sounds crazy, but we're counting on stuff like that to get us possessions, because we're not going to go dominate the offensive glass and get, you know, put back buckets and get those extra possessions that way. We're not going to do that very well. So we rely on the steals. Played bad against Kentucky. They did get in there. Our guys were so worried about the strength and length of their big guys that we were slow to play that help side, because as soon as you leave your guy, it's the easiest play in basketball. You just drop it to them and they dunk it. And they were trying to kind of play that. You can't get beat off the dribble. That's the big thing there. It's like, if you let a guy get to the middle of the paint, then you are kind of, it's up to them what they're going to do at that point in time. You no longer dictate it, which is why guys, you know, want to, like Vandy did a good job of pushing us to the baseline, because then those passes aren't easy. There is no just drop off dunk, drop off 6-foot little, you know, bank shot. That we don't get a lot very easy. I will say that. The one thing we did last night, Jimmy, though, 25 for 29 from the free throw line, we went in there and we didn't pull up and shoot all those jump shots. We just went in there and took it all the way to the basket and got fouled, and then we made our free throws. If we can make our free throws, then, yeah, you don't need to pull up and do all that. Just go attack the basket crazy. Just go for it, and then if they foul you and we're making free throws, but that's just one game from the line. We're gonna have to see that more than once.
All right, thanks, guys. Yeah, go Big Orange.
Appreciate it. And in watching how the guards do drive, to go back to his original point, when watching the guards drive, it seemed like at times last night they were trying to find the perfect shot. And I think if you're searching for the perfect shot, you're never going to find it, and you're going to end up doing what they did on a couple of occasions and just passing the ball around and ending up taking a shot that's not as good as a couple of the ones you passed up in search of the perfect one. Yeah, I think that was a real problem for them, particularly in the first half last night. I think it got better as they got a little more comfortable in the second half. But my favorite part about last night, how many Tennessee fans were in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And how they took over.
And the broadcast, Tom Hart especially, he brought it up like 20 times.
Yeah.
Maybe they ought to let their students in here. There's a lot of orange in the student section.
Yeah.
They panned the crowd like 4 or 5 times.
Well, because the student section was all orange because they sold those tickets and Tennessee fans bought them.
All the Vandy fans there are were there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Vandy has fans that are like social outing, something to do, mm-hmm. right? They don't go because they're like, their day is made or, made, you know, make it or break it. How's my team play today?
Right.
They don't have that.
Yeah.
It's probably healthier, honestly. Yeah. But it's fun. I mean, the whole gym was orange. It was cool.
Yeah. It was a good night at the office for Tennessee ultimately last night. And so now the Vols turn their attention towards LSU on Saturday. And Will Wade and crew come to Thompson Bowling Arena.
What LSU is going to make it hard for us to score. And I say that they're going to let us, like Vandy was, I didn't get it at all. And they have good guards. They have athletic perimeter players. And they didn't make us just shoot three. We shot, what, 20, did you say 23 threes or something like mm-hmm. that? I mean, that's still probably too much for us, but we attacked the basket a lot, and they allowed us to. I do not think for a second LSU, especially after watching that game, how do you get Tennessee, how are they their best? Well, you can't let them drive. You got to back off and dare them to shoot it. MJ to Muggsy Bogues, I dare you to shoot that. Playing 9 feet off of him, he missed one jump shot, and it ruined his game forever. Like, you got to back off, guys. Now, you can't do that to Vescovy. He's the one guy. Yeah. If you want to back off him, he'll hit a lot. Chandler can get hot. You don't want to just give him a bunch of easy ones. But even then, I'm LSU. I'm saying take as many threes as you want to, guys.
Yeah.
We're still going to score on our end. Play the numbers. They're not going to make a ton of them.
All right.
It's going to be hard.
We'll come back. Hour number two of the Eric Haynes Show. We will have big ticket, or not big ticket, big topic Wednesday.
Wishful thinking. Big ticket's fun.
It's coming soon. We'll talk Tennessee hoops, where we are, kind of mid-season report. That's next. More on the NFL, and someone Harrison Bailey coming up as well. See, Eric Haines Show rolls on the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.